This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a sneak peek at a major summer festival, Italian Renaissance paintings, or an evening of Shakespeare, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The 2018 Essence Festival, presented by Coca-Cola, kicks off next month with a first-ever performance by entertainment powerhouse Queen Latifah. Essence magazine editors are already in town as the countdown to the party with a purpose is on. We caught up with the magazine's entertainment editor, Corey Murray. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here, Diane.
The Essence Festival was literally born right here in New Orleans back in the 1990s. How do the pages from a national African-American women's fashion, lifestyle, and beauty magazine come to life in this celebration?
With a lot of people and a lot of patience and a lot of passion. I've been at Essence a while. And one of the things I remember Susan Taylor used to say was that Black women are in crisis. And it's our job to uplift them and show them the way. She was always very motivating. She was only there as editor-in-chief for about 6 months before Monique Greenwood took over back in early 2000s. So that still stuck with me. And I think it's still a mandate that we use to this day. What can we do to tell Black women's stories, to keep them first, and to push them forward?
This is the 24th annual celebration. What is the attraction to New Orleans, and how does the festival impact the city economically?
Everything is in walking distance. The food, the vibe, the energy of the city, and it's just accessible. There is really no other city that kind of gives you that, I guess, location accuracy, if you will. And also what I love about being here after the shows is that group walk you do down Poydras. It's almost like the festival is still going on, like it's a huge Black family reunion, you know, with people who may or may not be your blood. It's just this community. Also, it's the birthplace of jazz. All boxes were checked about New Orleans, and I think it's what keeps us coming back and why we love it so much. And to your question about the impact, I mean, we bring almost over $100 million to the city July 4th weekend. From what I understand, it used to be a very dead weekend. We're kind of help make it a destination.
Now, what is the focus this year?
The focus really is sisterhood. There is a movie that came out last year, a little movie called Girls Trip.
Oh, yes.
You know, Essence has always been about sisterhood, but what was so beautiful about that film is really amplifying when you get with your girls, your core girls, even if you haven't been together for a while, and you come together for a great weekend, and Essence Fest is your backdrop, a lot of things can happen, a lot of beautiful things. So I think it's about us reconnecting with that. It's like when you get together with your girls, all bets are off. You just want to have fun. You want to reconnect. You want to let your hair down. And I think that's for us what it's about. We just want to amplify the sisterhood for Essence Fest this year.
And Queen Latifah stars in that movie, Girls Trip.
She stars in that movie. She's an entertainment journalist, which I loved. You know, she had that great scene between her and Ayanna Van Zandt with that part. But now Queen Latifah is coming back to perform on the stage. I mean, she's been doing this for almost 30 years.
And this is a first for Essence.
This is a first for Essence. We've never had her perform. It's going to be great.
Just another day living in the hood. Just another day around the way. Feeling good today.
I actually know about some special guests that she'll be bringing.
Uh-huh.
I cannot say, but you guys, be in your seats. Like, don't miss out. It's about surprising, but once you see this on stage, like, she's not going to disappoint. Queen Latifah is the one.
Who are the other headliners in addition to Queen Latifah?
Oh, my God. Janet Jackson, Erykah Badu, Mary J. Blige is curating a night. Teddy Riley is bringing back the whole New Jack Swing experience. He actually came by our Essence offices in New York and told us about getting Guy back together was one of his greatest accomplishments because, like, Aaron Hall, he was like, he's going to perform. Daniel Caesar, her, Snoop Dogg, The Roots are curating a couple of experiences on stage. I think that also speaks to the sisterhood because it's a very women-heavy lineup this year, but we love that. Each night is a female headliner, so it's perfect.
Wow. And in addition to the music, this is billed as a party with a purpose. What's the purpose segment?
Well, the purpose segment is really our daytime programming, which really is the heart of what we do. And going back to your original question about how we sort of bring the magazine to life, because, you know, our sections about entrepreneurship, personal finance, love and wellness, all of those things are there. And we really try to amplify that and really bring it to life for people who may not have the tools to either get through something or to better their life, or, you know, actually to amplify their life, to make it better. And it's really about us providing speakers, experiences, workshops. That's our purpose. The music festival at night is great. Who doesn't love a good party? But, you know, we have to remember, going kind of back what Susan said, that we're here for a reason. And it's sort of our meat, if you will, of what we do.
And that's what you call the empowerment experience.
Yes.
So what are some of the topics, some of the issues that will be tackled in this experience?
The Black woman's vote. As you know, this is an unprecedented year with a number of Black women running for public office. We have wellness and self-care. Self-care is such a buzzword now, but you can't get enough of it because we constantly need to be reminded to take care of self, because that's the only way that we could be of service to others if at first we take care of ourselves. Embracing your purpose, secrets of an entrepreneurial success, and next generation leaders. And we have some really fabulous speakers tied to these topics. Ayanna Van Zandt, Lester Holt, Vivica Fox, Michael Eric Dyson, D. Ray McKinnison, Lovia J. It's really about the wokeness, if you will, of this period that we're in, that we really want to elevate the conversation.
And you have something new this year, your debuting conference and expos. What
yes,
is that?
So that's going back to curating something more specific to someone. Like for that person who's already heard Ayanna Van Zandt speak, they want a little something more tangible. That's where you can go to these tracks in really more smaller group, or what we're calling like expos within the daytime experience, whether it's focused on wellness and spirituality, community and culture, entrepreneurship and career. We touch on a lot of different topics where you can sort of be a little more engaged, more one-on-one workshops, like things that we can kind of do the critical work. This is for really for someone who wants to basically go to the next level with something in their life that they're trying to, you know, better.
So you're expanding the community enrichment
yes,
experience.
Yes, and really making it more interactive. Essence is newly owned. Richard Lou Dennis, who founded Sundial Brands, he's now our owner, and we're now Essence Ventures LLC. His big thing is entrepreneurship, community building, and really taking out the middleman and really trying to nurture the Black female entrepreneur. It's really inspiring because it's more than just being in a big room and talking. It's like, no, we need to be really engaging. We need to really ask hard questions. And I think that's what these conferences and expo tracks are really about. It's like really being a little more engaging and taking the conversation a little further and how you can build up something in your life.
What would you say is the best way to experience the festival?
Get on the app, figure out what those courses are or those experiences you want to have, the seminars you want to be a part of, and then you come down here, free your mind, and just soak it all in.
Essence Entertainment Editor, Corey Murray, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The 2018 Essence Festival, presented by Coca-Cola, runs July 5th through 8th, with activities in the Montreal Convention Center and the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. More info at EssenceFestival.com. Evicted. A woman could bear you, break you, take you. Now it's time to romp. Can you relate to a sister dope enough to make you holler and scream? Hey, yo, let me take it from here, queen. Excuse me, but I think I'm about due to get into precisely what I am about to do. I'm conversating to the folks who have no whatsoever clue. So listen very carefully as I break it down for you. Merrily, 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 high for happy overjoyed. Please, with all the beats and rhymes my sisters have employed. Look, it's me going down. Two Italian Renaissance masterpiece paintings are at the New Orleans Museum of Art in the only U.S. exhibit before they return to Murano, Italy. WWNO's Eileen Fleming reports NOMA director Susan Taylor said it took about a year and a half to arrange for the exhibit of two works by artist Paolo Veronese. She explains how the exhibit came from a small remote church in Murano to New Orleans.
We first became aware of having these two pictures visit New Orleans when a group from the Venetian Heritage Foundation came down to see our previous exhibition, our Venetian exhibition. They were intrigued by the museum, they appreciated our collection, And the head of the Venetian Heritage Foundation offered us the possibility of hosting these two works. This exhibition comes from the Frick Museum in New York, where it was on view in fall 2017. And this is the only other venue in the United States. After the show closes on September 3rd, it will go back to the church where they were previously installed, where they will remain. So this is the only opportunity to see these pictures in the United States.
Tell me about the artist himself.
The artist Paolo Veronese was a wonderful Venetian artist. He's one of Venice's foremost artists of the 16th century. He worked in a dynamic, compositional way, using figures that kind of splay across the foreground of the painting. He is a master of illusionism and creates a dramatic narrative in his use of bold colors and engagement with figures that are engaged with one another. So what's interesting about these two pictures is that they represent two moments of revelation, one of St. Agatha, before whom appeared St. Peter, and the other St. Jerome, who also had a revelation in the wilderness. So St. Agatha's vision with St. Jerome's intense personal piety reflect two very important aspects of contemplation and reflection that would be part of the experience in the chapels. I only had the theme of St. Agatha, but she ignored the advances of Roman consul Quintinian, who tortured her as a result and resulted in her mutilation. And you can see the streaks of blood on her chest, which reflects the torture that she endured.
How big is this?
He's the founder of the Catholic Church. It's pretty substantial. I would say it's almost life-size. The images are almost life-size. The frame in particular is the most intricate frames that I've seen in a long time, with this detail embedded in the gild. In the 17th century, 16th and 17th centuries, frame shops or frame makers, gilders, were considered just as important as the artists who made the work. So you can see the incredible detail of the carving and the detail of the punch holes in the gilded frame.
Take a close look at this frame, because you can't even see some of this detail if you're more than five feet away.
Exactly.
All right. And painting number two.
This is a painting, a well-known image of St. Jerome in the wilderness, which is a painting exemplifies his moment in the wilderness. His attribute is the well-known lion. So that is how one has identified, and this is his vision and his adoration of Christ on the cross. The importance of this picture is not merely because of St. Jerome's position as one of the important saints in the Catholic Church, but he was the first to translate the Bible into Latin.
The realism, look at his teeth. Yeah. They're missing.
Yeah, they are missing. And the fingernails, see how long the fingernails are.
Who would have been this artist's contemporaries?
He was well known along with Titian. He was well known in the Venetian school. The sequence of artists, first generation Giorgione, then Titian, then Veronese.
And now what happens to them?
After the exhibition closes on September 3rd, they will go back to the church where they will be reinstalled permanently as altarpieces in the church. So you can go to Venice and Murano to see the paintings there, but you'll never see them in America.
Susan Taylor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eileen.
St. Agatha visited in prison and St. Jerome in the wilderness are on view in a second floor room off the Great Hall through September 3rd. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane is celebrating its silver anniversary. The summer festival's 25th season continues its run with Shakespeare's dark comedy, All's Well That Ends Well. The show's director, Amy Holtkamp, is here with actress Julia Deloise. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
This is a work that is not often performed, and I hear it is a first for the Shakespeare Festival. What is the attraction to this romance comedy?
It's just really funny. It has a great angry clown character, Lavash, and it has this character, Paroles, that is just over the top hilarious. It has wit. It has a little bit of the screwball comedy about it, and I'm surprised it's not produced more.
And Julia, what about you?
This play is full of women helping each other out. So I think right now that's really good to see. A lot of Shakespeare's plays, the women don't talk to each other. The women don't help each other out that much. But the relationships between the women are really interesting, especially right now.
And the title comes from a proverb, "All's well that ends well." What does it mean?
Well, to me, it means that it might be a really rocky road to happiness, but that if you ultimately find true love, find happiness, find joy in life, that it's worth all of the bumps along the way.
This is a romance comedy, but it's very one-sided.
That's right. So my character, Helena, is in love with Bertram. They've kind of grown up alongside each other. But following his father's death, he's kind of come of age and he's gone off to the court. And she decides to follow him there where the king is ill. He has an incurable disease. And Helena, using a cure she got from her father, who is now deceased, who's a renowned doctor, cures the king and asks in return that she get to pick any husband that she wants. So she picks Bertram, who is not very happy about the choice. The king makes it so. He gets them married. But Bertram says, you know, even though you're my wife by law, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm not going to act as a husband unless you do these impossible tasks. And he goes off to war with his buddies, and there's a storyline there. And Helena, kind of, you know, being the enterprising young lady that she is, goes on this journey to track him down, makes an unfortunate discovery that he's wooing another woman, but she uses that to her advantage. She gets the woman on her side, really, and gets the help of these other women, kind of tricking Bertram into helping her complete these tasks and winning the love that she thinks that she deserves and putting everything into place how she thinks it should be.
And the play is set in the 1940s?
Or a version of the 1940s. I wanted to find a period that would suit the sort of wartime romance of the play. And for me, that conjured up images of GIs sticking their heads out of train windows, getting one last kiss before they go off to fight the war. And so you'll see our Bertram and Helena in uniform and skirts and cute sweaters.
The 1940s costumes are such a treat. It works out great for me because I get to wear these beautiful, beautiful costumes.
Let's talk about the cast.
Julia's love interest is played by Alex Ates, who's been involved in the festival since he was a teenager. Two people who've been involved in the festival year after year, Leanne Pattison and Silas Cooper, and AJ Allegra from the NOLA Project is playing Paroles.
Why do you think this is a work by Shakespeare that's not often presented?
It's sort of a weird one. It has trappings of comedy and trappings of tragedy, but it doesn't fit neatly into any one box.
Usually when we have these romances that are two people from opposite side of the tracks, it's the two of them are in love and they desperately want to be together, and it's the world trying to keep them apart. And in this, it's the exact opposite. The whole world wants them together. The king proclaims they should be together. His mother wants them together. Everyone in the play talks about what a wonderful girl this is and how he should be in love with her. And through most of the play, he's just not interested. He's got other things in his mind. He's a young man, and what he really wants to do is run off and prove himself. And the last thing he wants to do is settle down and be sort of shackled to a wife. I think that in a lot of ways, that doesn't match our modern, you know, sense of what we want a partnership to be. So that's something that we really had to bear in mind in approaching this. And I think find a way that this makes sense and we can root for them despite Bertram's seeming disinterest.
So what did you do?
Well, I think a big part of it is that they're both young. They're both supposed to be under 18. And I know when I think back to my teenage romances, I did not make the best decisions. I did not treat everyone with kid gloves. I certainly wasn't treated with kid gloves myself. And it has to do with that rocky road we were talking about. It's a bumpy road to a happy ending, especially when you're a teenager. And so I think we've really just doubled down on their youth. And that really solves a lot of the things I think that are considered problems in the play, at least for me.
Amy's right. I think about times in my life when I've had feelings for people who are not the best people for me. We are all flawed people and have had feelings for not the right person.
Shakespeare had such a good handle on the things that make us essentially human, the things that don't change over hundreds and hundreds of years. The style of our clothes change. Some words fall out of fashion. There are definitely some references and jokes that we don't understand anymore. But there is something that he knew about the things that don't change, love, relationships, family. He just infuses his plays with so much understanding of those things that I think that that is what gives the play's staying power.
Yeah, you'll read a line and you're like, oh my God, I felt that way yesterday. How does he capture it so perfectly?
Is all fair in love?
Mm. I think all is fair in love and war on stage.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
I always tell my students, we don't want healthy, well-adjusted characters in plays. We want them in real life. We want our characters to be damaged and make terrible decisions because that's where the drama and the conflict comes from. But we're aiming to have all of that great, well-adjusted, centered, grounded behavior in real life, but we want all of the wackiness right up there on stage.
Yeah, well adjusted is not fun to watch.
Yeah, no, boring.
How true. Director Amy Holtkamp and actress Juliet Deloise, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much.
The New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane presents All's Well That Ends Well, with performances running now through June 17th at Tulane's Lupin Theater. More info is online at neworleansshakespeare.org. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.